Welcome to Take Note. This is our little podcast about walking around with a pocket notebook in your back pocket. Do you keep it in your left back pocket or your right back pocket, Adam?
Well, I hate to break the illusion, destroy the illusion, but I keep it in my front pocket, my front left pocket.
Wow. I'm sure you've told me that before, but that seems a little odd. How large are your front pockets? Cargo? You working with something cargo-ish? Carpenter? Something in a carpenter pant? Balloon?
Yep, I'm
MC
wearing...
MC Hammer?
No, I'm... Speaking of destroying the illusion, I am a balloon boy, and I live in an inflatable balloon, and that's where my notebook goes.
In my There's front a front pocket to my balloon. Front pocket of your balloon. Well, I carry it in my back right, like a human being. It's quick draw kind of thing. I'm right-handed.
There was no way that I was going to not learn where you keep your notebook. Because you notice,
yep,
I didn't ask.
I wasn't going to let Balloon Boy dictate whether or not our audience figured out which pocket I carried it in.
Yeah.
Front pocket. Does it not get crumpled up and bent in your front pocket?
I feel like occasionally gets crumpled in my front pocket and it gets more destroyed in my back pocket. Used to be a back pocket guy way, way, way back in the day. But sure. I didn't feel that they lasted in the back pocket.
Wow. Did you, at the airport, do they accuse you of smuggling lunch trays into the terminal?
Because the balloon? Or because of the notebook in the pocket?
Valets, like valet trays, valets?
Well, my valet comes with me in the airport. My valet empties my pockets for me. He puts them in the tray. My valet removes my belt because sometimes that sets off the detector. I walk through my valet
belt in the,
my valet
your balloon
gets,
belt.
My valet gets my bag. I forgot that I was in a balloon. My valet gets my bag.
I know.
He puts my belt back on me. He packs my bag back
on
up.
Your balloon.
Yep, and then he leaves because
sure.
I have a valet meet me there, even though I've bought my valet a ticket.
Valet
can get through
shoots
TSA.
And leaves. Yep, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in my notebook that I keep in my back right pocket.
Didn't ask.
A little note. my son was making Valentines for his classes. Kind of going down the list, you know, it's very cute, naming off every little classmate, writing a little, you know, writing the name, writing their names on some sort of a Valentine. And he's going through, kind of talking to himself, and he goes, okay, let's see, I haven't done Sebastian yet. He pauses, raises his pencil up to the thing. Dear Seabiscuit.
That's good. All right. Well... let's do this again next week, Ted.
Is there anything you've written down?
I've written a couple things down here. First, I dragged my children and one other child to the Art Institute to see the Picasso exhibit. And there was another father there. He had his son was in a stroller because he was younger than kids were younger than my children. And he was describing Picasso's Nude Under a Pine Tree to his 2-3-year-old, I don't know. And he said, I wrote this down, look, they have 4 toes. Now, Picasso was not a good person. Yeah.
I've been listening to Werner Herzog's book on tape. That's a shocker. It's a bit of a slog. I like it, but boy.
Oh, really?
I mean,
all that,
in the sense
all
that
stuff that he's made up, he didn't make it up, so it's interesting.
It just seems like it's been going on for a while. I don't even mean that in a bad way. But he did say at one point, he's talking about cave paintings and how Picasso managed to draw something that resembled a cave painting, even though he had presumably never, the cave that it looked similar to hadn't even been discovered yet. But the interesting part to me was when Werner Herzog says, Pablo Picasso, of whom I have no great opinion. And he carried on. And I thought, wow, that's like, well, that's, It was surprising. He, you know, Herzog likes his characters of extremes, and I would think Picasso fit into that, but gosh, no opinion. Zing.
Yeah, Picasso, Herzog playing it safe.
Yeah.
Herzog afraid to get canceled.
He punted on that one.
Yeah. What else have you written in your notebook?
Oh, man. You know, not much else. I will say I've been doing a great job of writing down interesting things, but they're mostly from other sources, or, you know, kind of picking up my practice again of if there's sort of an interesting anecdote from a story I'm reading, I'll try and write it down and capture the contours of it. I don't think of that as a what do you got in the contractually sense of the word.
It is not yep. what do you got. No. I've been doing the same thing. I've written down, in fact, in the last 3-4 days, I have written down many pages in my notebook of writing advice from, more than writing advice, notes on a few different, two different essays. George Saunders has the Substack, and about a week ago now, so let's say roughly maybe the 20th or a little bit later in the month of February, he did an office hours. So the reason I'm saying the date is so that it's findable. It's a free Substack post, but he does every middle of the week one is called office hours. So you want to look at the one that is either the last or the second last one in February. And he gives advice to writers who feel that their upbringing was kind of too simple and they haven't lived the life of a writer. It was fantastic. It really spoke to me. And I wrote down a number of pages in that one. And then also just today, got this, just read this Benjamin Percy book called Thrill Me, which is he's a thriller writer, and it's his writing advice, and it's written in a very easy to read, easy to digest way. And so he's got this essay on urgency that's great, and basically halfway through reading both of those things, I felt like I like this so much that I want to write it down, so maybe it sticks with me. Yeah, but I do have a what do you got, and it's pretty exciting. I want to talk to you about it. It's a weird subject. It feels a little raw, but my business partner is a woman, and sometimes when we travel together, sometimes even when we're not traveling together, because she's a woman and I'm a man, and we get mistaken as a couple, and we're kind of used to this. And so we were traveling to a place where we're going to have a meeting, and we went to a restaurant that's on site there, because you kind of try the restaurants and make sure they're good, so you see what you can recommend. This was a nice restaurant, and we walk into the restaurant, this like fancy restaurant at the hotel, and they greet us as hello Mr. and Mrs. Webb, and we both recoil in terror, and I explain to the two hostesses, we're not a couple, we're co-workers. And they say something that I don't quite understand.
Sure they do.
And we get moved to our seat. And I say to my coworker, I say, did they just say that regardless of what we've just told them, the waitress is going to treat us as a couple anyway? And she said, yes, they did. And the waitress proceeded they didn't communicate this to the waitress, maybe. I don't know. And then the waitress proceeded to treat us as though we were a couple, and at one point when I like suggested that we weren't, she acted like I was joking.
Was it the waitress who said she would not treat you that way, or
said,
the hostess?
The hostesses. The hostesses. And they were not confused, because we the explanation sort of went on at length in a friendly, non-confrontational way. Don't worry, you get this a lot, but, you know, we're not... sorry about that. But just the waitress is still going to call you Mr. and Mrs. Webb.
Oh, my God. That's so bizarre.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Honestly, it hits a weird nerve when it happens for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I didn't even write it down in the notebook right away. I wrote down some of the other goofy things they did. Like, this was February, and on the menu, they had pumpkin pie ice cream and fall spiced beignets, which was concerning. And also, they made
it's spring, but we're still gonna call you pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And they make martinis with lots of ice in them, not like accidentally putting ice in them, like as though that's how you serve a martini with like chunks of ice in it.
pumpkin spice martini.
Pumpkin spice martini. And so, like,
middle of February.
And so those things, you're kind of, what the hell is going on here? But all those things are amplified by the way that it starts. But anyway, so it was the sort of thing that I wouldn't have even written down on my notebook because it's just like a kind of thing. And then I was just sitting there watching, because they don't know what they're doing there, they got, instead of sports on the giant TV, they got news. And so in the romantic restaurant, there was news about some baby dying on the big huge screen TV. And I was like, this is so weird.
You and your wife must have been very upset by that.
Yeah.
You and Mrs. Webb.
And this is so weird. And then I just, like, I realized, I was like, that happened like 30 minutes ago or 40 minutes ago. And I just started laughing out loud. And I wrote it down in my notebook because it's like you feel like you're in the Twilight Zone or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like a bad, not like an interesting episode of Twilight Zone, but yeah.
It's fun to think how the odd things would just spiral.
Yeah.
Until they're just building on each other and creating layers and becoming so entrenched that they'll never get. So you recommended this to your...
No. Actually, it all felt... So, you know, one of the weird things is like this whole concept of like, well, we need to go to the nice restaurants so we can see if we recommend it. That sounds like crazy, right? Like, you don't need to go to the nice restaurant to see if you... But like when it really goes wrong, you're like... Okay, yep. This is part of what I do. Why I do what I do.
Mission accomplished. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've written in my notebook. What are you writing with?
I am writing with, golly, I'm writing with a Pilot Il Mille Nuance Black Gel Pen 0.5 millimeter. I don't know what an Il Mille stands for. But it's a very handsome pen. This was part of my Jet Pens haul that I mentioned last episode that I've now had a chance to use. Thought I'd go through a few of them. I guess I could go ahead and do that now. No need to wait.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick about the Pilot Il Mille. If you don't know how to spell that, you might Google it, and you might be taken to the YouTube page of Pilot Emilia. Which is not spelled anywhere near what you've spelled, Il Mille, but...
What's Pilot Emilia getting up to?
Well, she's flying and working as a regional airline first officer. Her most recent thing was Almost Missed My Flight. That was her most recent video. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Like 19 minutes long, that video?
I don't know. I'm really afraid that if I click on it, we're going to start listening to it.
Pilot Emilia. No, this is Il Mille.
She's got a Patreon, too.
I. She's awesome. Support Pilot Emilia.
Yeah.
She's go, working hard out there.
Go right ahead.
Fly in the friendly skies. Il Mille is spelled capital I, capital L, capital M, capital I, capital L, capital Y. That's what you guessed, right, for the spelling. Okay, this is a great pen. It's white with kind of a translucent but deep colored cap at the top. It's got the clicky. The click is like the clip pushes up and down on the side, which is just kind of unique and satisfying. The grip is nice and rubbery, almost like the Sharpie pen style, I would call it. But it's just very nice looking pen, very classy, reserved, but it got a little bit of a gloss to it, and it's this nuanced red, which is a little bit of a deep sort of a reddish black. I mean, red wouldn't jump out at you, but kind of a dark maroon. It's a 0.5, which, you know, I've been more into the big heavy inks lately, so this is right on the edge, but it's really fantastic. Strongly recommend the Pilot Il Mille. Another pen in my haul was the quite similar, actually, Sakura Ball Sign. Hello. ID Gel Pen. This is Cassis Black, which is also known as Red Black. I was feeling in kind of a red black mood when I ordered these. The writing is actually very similar to the Il Mille. The body is a similar idea. It's a side click, which is kind of interesting, and it had this nice metal clip that sort of went over the top and down the side. The clip, I will say, after some not very rigorous handling, fell off and disappeared, and so now I'm left with kind of a odd-looking pen The body itself, it's kind of okay, but it's sort of cheap feeling. So if you're going to go, if you're choosing a nice red-black pen that looks kind of contemporary and writes well, I'd go with the Il Mille over the ball sign. Hello.
Before we besmirch sure. this ball sign, before yes. it, too late, but before it fell apart, were you keeping that in the front pocket or the back pocket?
Yeah, this was not subjected to any crazy rigor like, I guess, 3, 2, 1. Like in a front pocket, you know, and the clip bends after a while. This just fell off completely, cleanly fell off, clanged on the ground, and then I subsequently lost it because I couldn't get back to attach back the wrong way. So I'm comfortable in saying that the cheapness of the body makes the Sakura ball sign not worth it. Non-recommend. Go with the Pilot Il Mille. Great pen. Like, great pen. Kind of, I guess it's a rollerball or something a little, I don't know, a little, you know, it's in the, maybe it's a gel pen. I don't know these things, but it's great.
It's a ballpoint, I think. I think it's a ballpoint.
It's a gel ball pen. Point. I'm looking at my order. The Il Mille is a gel pen.
Well, they also sell a Il Mille. Just keep wanting to say ball sign. They also sell a Il Mille regional flight attendant. Yeah. They sell a ballpoint
yep.
too.
Interesting.
Yeah. They look completely different. The Il Mille ball sign. The Il Mille ballpoint and the Il Mille gel pen is unnecessary. Why they would look so different. I don't understand. Yeah. I guess I don't understand pens 197 episodes in.
Fair. Yeah.
Why would they have the same name, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Another pen I bought. This will be the last one I'll talk about, and then I'll save some of the other ones for a later episode. But I got the Oto Fude Ball Rollerball Pen. This is... Oto makes some really nice pens. I think they skew towards kind of like, you know, manga drawing style. This one in particular is the 1.5 millimeter. That's just what I love about this.
Huh.
Massive line, absolutely massive line. Like you're practically using a paintbrush. But the ink is really nice. I got the blue ink. I actually have a red ink version, which is also a deep, rich red, but this blue is fantastic. It's a little clicky. So in using it and writing, you get a little action on the needle point, you know, within the body. It's a little clicky, so it's a bit of a critique. It's not the form factor is not as cool as the UM153, which is just the uni pens we love that have a beautiful body and a great, you know, the tip that's metal and shiny, and the shape to me is just perfect. This isn't this is not quite up in that league, but the writing experience is really nice. Just a little too much ink maybe to truly just kind of write sentences on a regular basis, but throws a lot of ink around in a very pleasing way. So I do recommend the Oto Fude Ball Roller ball pen, and that's the kind of pen you find yourself in the mood. You're like, I just want
to. I'm in a Fude mood.
I want to put some ink down, and you'll grab it, and you'll be excited about it. Like I'll grab that pen or the red one and write in my Nanami Seven Seas Rider with the paper thin Tomoe River paper with one of these pens, and just it's fabulous.
Now, I know we've talked about this before, but when you pull out your Nanami Seven Seas writer,
yep.
What's your special go to? This is what I'm going to write about. Is it like
that's a pure journal? That one's just pure journal. So it's I started it in the pandemic actually when I was, you know, I put the kids to bed and they just wanted to like record what was happening just for posterity almost, mm-hmm. and also just normal journaling, and the Seven Seas Writer is just such great paper that it's just it's heavy and dense. The pages are thin, but there's a ton of them, so it's the book is thick, and writing on it is just a pleasure. I write on one side only, you know, so it's just words. There's no real notes. It's all sentences. So I've kept that up, and so it's really just journal. I'll just pull it out and just start writing sentences about what's been going on, which I think is a great way to get the words flowing, and it's a good match of a book that's fun to write in and getting a good pen that's fun to write with. Usually I'll grab one of my fountain pens, maybe a Lamy Safari or my Narwhal that doesn't work very well despite number one fan of the show and occasional co-host Ryan Sly's efforts to rejuvenate it with his weird little sheet of brass or whatever that is.
Yeah, but do you think he really tried hard enough? You know?
I think on his third album, Sheets of Brass, I do not think he tried hard enough.
No. I don't know.
I didn't feel like playing the saw to accompany every song was the right call.
We've got a new theme song. This will be the second episode with it. And now who did it? Who played the saw on that? Did someone accompany you with the saw? Or that was all?
No. That was all me.
Okay.
Many, many hundreds of tracks laid down. I chatted with Ryan about, he's a really good guitar player and singer and knows lots more about playing the guitar than I do, but just, it was fun to sit and chat, and I was trying to think, I don't know. Songwriting doesn't come particularly naturally to me. I learned 5 chords when I was 14, and that's pretty much where my guitar knowledge has remained since then. But this was a little attempt to kind of make some new sounds. Did a few tracks, did a little, you know, couple different, actually, it was all guitar, but a electric guitar track, acoustic guitar track, layer them on top of each other. It's a really fascinating process. I will say, I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast, but listening to Billie Eilish and her brother, Finnegan?
Yep.
Fillion?
Phineas?
Phineas.
Phineas. Yep. I'll agree with whatever you say. Finnegan, yes.
It's really fun to listen to some of the videos they've made about songwriting and song producing. It's very inspiring because they're very transparent about it, about the pain of it, but also about just the layering of it and testing and messing with stuff and seeing how something sounds like. And, you know, sometimes they need a sound and they'll scream into the mic and then throw it through all kinds of different filters. And so at some point along the way, I watched that, and it's fun, you know, with technology making everything as accessible as it is, someone like me can just open sound editing software and mess with stuff. So anyway, that was just a little tiny baby project. I'm glad you liked it. And I think it sounds kind of nice.
I think it sounds kind of nice too. I liked it a lot. Well, here we are. It's time for Notebook of the Week.
It's that time again.
I think no one is more surprised than the two of us that we've been able to keep a segment going every single week for maybe 4 weeks now.
This is going to blow your mind, I think, but I am looking forward to what you have for this segment.
All right. Well, I've warned you. I think
we stumbled into a real segment here.
Yep. I believe it is ungoogleable. This came from the Craft House in Saigon, Vietnam.
Okay.
From, friend of the pod, Jay, I think. I don't know if he knows he's friend of the pod, but he hooked me up with some stuff from Japan about 6 months ago, and we talked about that.
Yep.
And this notebook, the brand is Tick and Pick, spelled like Tick, the insect and superhero, and Pick, like the pick and save. Tick and Pick, out of Vietnam.
What is the pick and save, and how would that help anyone know how you spelled pick?
Actually, that might not be how they spell pick and save.
Yeah, okay.
No, it is. It is how they spell pick and save. Pick and save is a grocery store I've never been to, but it's showing up here that it might be a Wisconsin grocery store.
So you went with a frame of reference that theoretically would be something that everyone was familiar with.
It was either Tick the Superhero. Listen, first I said Tick the Superhero. Okay. And then it was either pick your nose or pick and save, you know? I thought I was going classy with the Kenosha, Wisconsin grocery store.
Sure.
Okay. May I proceed, or do you want to halt this segment yeah. in its tracks?
No, carry on. Proceed. Right. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
The brand is Tick and Pick, which is TICKANDPICK.VN. However, once you get to the Tick and Pick website, I cannot find these notebooks anywhere under their stationery section. These notebooks appear to be craft. They are 5x7. They say I love Vietnam on the back. They say I heart Vietnam on the back. And they have images on the front of three scenes from Vietnam. The Ha Long Bay, the Hoi An Old Quarter, and then I saved the one that I'm least likely to pronounce correctly for last, the Kai Bay Market. And they're like ink drawings of these, pencil drawings of these like beautiful scenes of Vietnam. And the notebook is, it's a blank notebook on the inside. It's going to make a good sketchbook.
So when you say craft, do you mean the brown
yes.
kind of material that we're accustomed to from yeah. Field Notes?
I do, and I don't know that they are I doubt they are the same craft paper, but that's the style of it. Like a
so brown the drawings are
cover. And the drawings are reproduced. They're pencil drawings, but you know, they're reproduced, like printed on top. But you can see the shading of the pencil on top of the craft notebooks.
And it sounds like it's slightly larger than a
yep.
large Field Notes, maybe.
Well, I think it's like the size of the larger, Field Notes, and it's it's a pretty nice paper there, you know, like nothing. It's not a thick paper, but it does the job. It's a good it's good when you're in Saigon or environs. And you want to sketch the street life to maybe be on the cover of a future notebook.
What kind of spine?
It's a staple. It's folded. And it's stapled. It's got two staples. And the staples are, I describe them as somewhat voluptuous staples. You know, they're not quite as flat as the staples we get back here in the States.
If you had to describe how this notebook makes you feel in three words, what would those three words be?
Backpacking through Asia. That's the vibe I get.
Backpacking through Asia. You went with three associated words
yep.
that could be gathered into a sentence with meaning. Excellent.
Well, from the Tick and Pick the Pick and Save. Either one. From the Pick and Save, too many words. So backpacking through Asia is the vibe that these get you. On the back they say, I love Vietnam, so those could be the three words too.
Good.
So you might be able to dig through, I'm guessing you dig to the bottom of tickandpick.vn and maybe you could find it. But they also sell some like beautiful passport covers too. What do we call it? Is that called bot? Dongs. They're Vietnamese dongs, not Vietnamese bots. I don't know what bots are. They've got some, they also sell some like leather notebooks that have like, I think fake magazine covers. The Hanoian instead of the New Yorker. I know there's some other places that do something like that too. So I think worth checking out. They've got some cool leather notebooks. I don't know how much 181,000 dong in dollars is. And I don't know what the shipping costs are, but I think worth checking out actually the Tick and Pick leather stationery selection. It's not what I've got here. I think what I've got is not readily available unless you go to the craft house
pick
in Saigon. Pick and Save, I'm guessing they don't have them either. But you could also go to the Craft House website, which is thecrafthouse.vn. And I believe I saw pictures of this bookstore on like Bookstore Row in Saigon. It's not called Bookstore Row. I wasn't in Saigon, right? I'm just living through these notebooks. And, yeah, you could check out the Craft House as well. Interesting stuff.
Good. This turned into a Monocle episode all of a sudden.
That's right.
But I'd like to do it again sometime soon. What do you say, Adam?
Sounds great, Theodore.
Thanks for the notebook of the week. I love that segment. You can check us out on the internet at takenote.space. There you will find a link to our Patreon page if you wanted to contribute actual currency to the cause of just keeping this thing ad-free. Let's be honest, we're never going to add ads. That sounds like too much work, but nonetheless, it is ad-free.
We'll take dollars, we'll take dong, we'll take Thai baht. I looked it up there. Baht are from Thailand.
We are free from ads, but packed absolutely full of fun.
And groveling.
You can also sign up for our newsletter over there. It's, it's an occasional. We like to get those out and really just kind of expand on the stuff that we talk about on the podcasts, books and observations and recommendations and music and that sort of thing. You can send us an email at takenotecentral@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you. And in the meantime, take care.